Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18. Remember ye not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. Here endeth then the reading. Father God, we thank you that you are such a God. You have not changed. This word still remains true. It always is true. You are continually doing new things. We thank you that your mercies are new every morning, and that no one can say, I know the Lord, and not know you every day, because you are an everyday God. And we thank you, Lord God, that today is again a new day, part of the new age. But this day is especially set aside to reveal some expression of your character, of your person, of your glory, of your wonder, of your love, that we have never seen before. Lest we waste this day and do not make the use of the time that would redeem it and cause it to be filled. But we thank you that it is your desire today to reveal afresh something that has not been shown before, that we might be satisfied, that we might drink in the wilderness and be well satisfied. And therefore give mighty praise unto God, many thanksgiving unto the name of the Lord our God. And we will do just that. In the blessed and holy and wondrous name of Jesus, and all the people said, amen. Amen. Well, this is a historic day for two reasons. First of all, for us personally, because today is the day that we have set aside to ordain the elders and the deacons of this church. That may seem like a small thing, but actually it's an extremely important and great thing for us. But more importantly, really, it's a great day for the church because I believe that what we're doing today is part of a great movement of God all over the world to restore New Testament Christianity to the church. And even though we're not in close contact with people in other places of the world or in other places in this country, I am absolutely convinced in my spirit that what God is showing to us, He is showing to others in a supernatural way. It doesn't come through seminary or through tradition or through the normal paths that God has. But God is speaking to His people in a powerful and fresh way. He is doing a new thing in our day. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And it's so exciting because that one of the things that's new, there's many things that are new, but one of the things that's new is the restoration of New Testament leadership. And I'll tell you, it's really an exciting thing because if there's one thing that the world needs, it's leadership. If there's one thing the church needs, it's leadership. But it's the last thing we want, you know. And that's why I like it, because it's impossible to really bring it to pass without a miracle. Because people hate to be told anything. I mean, it's taken us all these years to stop being slaves and serfs and so on and so forth, so we could be independent and free and do our thing. Now here God comes along with this deal of His that says, this is the way you shall do it. And you know, that kind of slows us down. But I've learned this, that when you're independent and do your own thing, you always end up in the pig pen. Hello? Anybody else here ever ended up there? That's good.
Because if you haven't been there, you can't go on. Unless you go through the pig pen, and the only way to get there is through complete and total disobedience and rebellion and independence. Now, I know a lot of people think, well, I never rebelled. I never turned against God. Then I tell you, you could not love God. Because God came for sinners, for those that are rebellious, for those that are independent, for those that cut him off, for those that hated him, for those that did not accept God for who he was. Those are the ones that God came and said, I love you. Though you rejected me, yet I never rejected you. I accept you. And those that believe that, get out of the pig pen, they come on home, and you know what God does for them? He doesn't spank them, you know. Say, no, I told you not to go out in that world, have a good time. You disobeyed me. You had fun, didn't you? Well, now that's the end of that. Now we're going to work. Get out there with your older brother. And, you know, that's not what God does. That's what religion teaches us. But you know what God does? He just runs to us, hugs us, and kisses us, falls upon us, and says, oh, I'm so glad you're back. Because I know it was a free choice. You loved me not because you had to, because you wanted to. And God just says, you know, I just want to bless you now. I want you to just come in and rest. I just want to give you a party. I want you to have one lifelong party. It'll last for all eternity. How many believe that that's religion? Not one person? How many know that's what religion is all about? Having one lifelong party. It never changes. Ah, that's why you need leadership. The joy of the Lord. God designed it in such a way that the law would come and drive you from him, not draw you to him. He knew that when he said, do it, you wouldn't. He knew that. He knew that when he brought the law, it would just drive you away. He designed it that way. Every mother who has a new baby has to learn to cut the umbilical cord so that the baby is an independent unit. Now, I know the baby can't survive without mama, but the baby is an independent unit, and each one asserts that within the first few minutes, you know, that they've got not just mother's interests, but they've got their own interests in mind. And until you're independent of God, you cannot love him. Otherwise, you're just an extension of God, of the mother. But God knows that we're cut off. And even though he still sustains us and we need his milk and so on, yet we must choose. We must ourselves cooperate and come to God. Now, that's what God wants. So God is looking for a people that know how to rejoice. I tell you, I was one of those that ran away from God. I had no interest in God at all. And I ended up in the pig pen. Now, my life didn't fall apart. My life was very successful. But I knew where it was going. I knew that all the success in the world wouldn't change what was really happening. And I knew that if I would ever come to God, that I didn't know what he would do. I didn't know that much about God. But if I looked at Christians, I knew he'd spank me. Because they didn't look like they were too happy. It looked like, you know, they were all sitting there in church, you know, with their hands in their laps. And it didn't look too fun to me. But I knew that fun wasn't fun anymore either. Now I was in trouble. You know, where are you going to go? But God's doing a new thing. And that one of the new things today is that he's reintroducing the old thing. Let's get back to the original good news. You know, they killed Jesus because he taught good news. They hated him because he loved them. And he knew that. That's why he came. He came to be hated. Jesus came on earth to be hated. Hello? Have you ever hated Jesus? How many here have ever hated Jesus? That's the most wonderful thing you can do, is hate him. Until you learn to be independent and hate him, you're never going to love him. Because love and hate are very close together. Until you learn that you're independent and that your love is freely given. God doesn't want people to love him because they have to. Sort of, well, I couldn't help it. you know, someone making me do it. No, he wants you to love him just because you choose to. Now, that's a miracle. That is a miracle. It's amazing that he had any followers. You know, he said stuff like this. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself. You know, that's not too attractive. Take up his cross, hate father and mother, you know. Boy, he didn't make it nice at all. And then when the Pharisees were offended and the disciples came and told him, they said, you know, you're offending a lot of the religious people. You know what Jesus said? Too bad. He didn't say it that way. What he said was, every plant that my Father has not planted, it's going to be torn up from the roots. In other words, nobody can come to me except the Father bring him. You have to come on your own. It has to be a free gift. We don't choose Jesus because he's the only choice. There are two choices. You're free. And God wants people that freely love him. I tell you, I tried the other choice. You cannot know God unless you choose evil. Unless you have eaten of the tree of evil, you cannot know good. You have to do that. And a lot of people are afraid. Remember the guy that hid his talent and said, I knew you to be a hard master and I was afraid, so I hid my talent and here it is. You know what Jesus said to him? Thou wicked servant. He cut him right off. And you know, that guy, you know, he didn't do anything wrong. He didn't do anything wrong. He just looked like an innocent kind of guy. I'm sure he was a pastor. He'd gone to Sunday school his whole life and so on. He kept it. He didn't do anything bad. But God wants you to take a risk, not bury something in the ground. Take a risk. And God's doing a new thing. He's going to call forth the people. This is what's exciting. You don't even have to understand what I'm saying, but you will. If you stick around long enough, you'll get the joy of the Lord in you. And that's all we're dishing out, because that's all God has. You're either into a party, you know, put your hat on, you know, and get your, what are those things that roll up, you know, and the things you turn in your hand and so on, balloons. We need to decorate the church someday that way. Not to be trivial. This is not something trivial. This is the heart of God. To bring us into a place of peace and rest and joy and happiness. Did you know God wants you to be happy? How many know that the whole purpose of God is that you would be happy? I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. You know, most people feel, well, that's probably true too. No, that's the only thing that's true. Well, aren't there some other scriptures that say, yeah, you know, more bricks, you know. Aren't there scriptures on holiness? Yes. But holiness grows out of happiness. I tell you, when you love God and you do nothing but receive, you don't earn this party, you can't pay for it, you can't buy it. You can't waste your substance on it because you don't have any substance to waste on it. This one's just given as a gift to undeserving people. If you don't deserve it, then you can come in. If you have money to pay for it, you can't come in. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, Isaiah said. He that hath no money, come buy and eat. You have to be broke to get in. You have to be desolate. You have to be a desert. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. I will make a way even in the desert. Any God can make a way in the garden. Anyone can plant flowers in a garden. But only our God can set a table in the wilderness. Only our God can bring forth happiness and joy when it doesn't look that good. When it's dry, when it's thirsty, when it's desolate, when it seems hopeless. When this world is not full of good things, but full of evil things. You will never see a perfect pastor. Thank God. You're never going to see it. There is no such thing. Forget it. If you have figured out already that I have flaws, if someone told you that, big deal. We're all made the way we're made. And I've learned not to look at what I see, because you will never grow and you will never go. And you will remember the former things and die. Many ways. But God says, oh, forget the former things. Forget how good you were yesterday. You know, when Peter was up on the mountain, he wanted to build a booth for God. Oh, God, I'm so glad we're here. You know, and he got all religious, you know. And he built three booths, one for the Presbyterians, one for the, no. You know, and he wanted to build a little deal there. You know, sort of capture that moment forever and all eternity. A little place in the world where you could always go and find God, or a place where you'd been. I've been to the Holy Land. You can go and see. You actually can see in the Holy Land a little spot where Jesus took off. And the imprint is still in the mud. Isn't that? Did you see it? Yeah. It's there. It's up on the top of the Mount of Olives. It's just where he took right off. And there's a little booth over it. There's a little house, a little round house over this thing. And you have to pay the Arab children, you know, about $1.50 to look in there. there's a booth-building tendency in all of us. That's religion. To live in the past. To live that God met me yesterday or a week ago or a year ago or 10,000 days ago. But you know, God is always a God of today. He's always doing a new thing. And I tell you, the vision for us as a people is this. That God wants to have a people that will praise him fresh and new every day. And we will never harden down. We probably won't even remember all the good things God has done. It's impossible. I tried to write newsletters, you know, and remember all the miracles that have happened just in a given week. It's incredible. There's so much you can't, like John says, all the world would be filled with books if you wrote down, you know, just reading some of you ladies' journals, you know. There's too much that happens in our lives. Each of us is rich. Do you know that you're rich? Beyond measure. God created you, and now he is recreating you, forming you a people for himself. And those that are inclined toward booth building or looking toward the future but are not living in the present are going to miss God's best. Now, I'm not saying they won't go to heaven. Many people that are building booths can stay there if they want. And they may get in too. I don't know. But I do know this, that our God is always changing. He's a God that's changeless yet ever changing. That is, he's ever doing new things. He's the same yesterday and today and forever, but his mercies are new every day. He does something new, just like a parent. You know, every day the child grows and every day the parent shows a new aspect of love. And it's the same. You know, in relationship, I see new things in Peggy that I never saw before. I love her more today than yesterday. And more tomorrow than today and so on. I look forward to it. I'll find something new in my Peggy that I never saw before. Isn't that fun? Isn't that exciting? For example, last night she woke me up at what, about 4? To reveal something to me. Wasn't that exciting? Jim. And, you know, it was really very good. But she wanted to then explain it. Okay, I got it. Go to sleep. But there are new and wonderful things every day that God reveals to us. It's precious, isn't it? It's precious. Behold, I do a new thing. God is always doing new things, and if we build a church out of booths, we'll never be able to follow God. But I want us to be so adaptable to God. And when I say I want, I really don't mean that. What I'm saying is, that's what God's going to do. That's the vision. That's the purpose. Is to reveal himself, and he can only be revealed day by day. Sort of situation by situation, line upon line, precept upon precept, from glory to glory, and don't harden down. Forget the former things. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Now, when he says that, he doesn't mean don't remember them. He means don't keep calling them to mind as though they were things of the past. But remember, the same God that was with Moses is now with Joshua. And the same God that was with Joshua is now with Jesus. And the same God that was Jesus was with Paul and with Luther and with me. And he'll be with my children tomorrow. That same God will not just be remembered in the past. When Israel remembered, she always remembered yesterday, today. In other words, she brought God up to date. And when we remember the Lord's Supper, it doesn't mean remember 2,000 years ago he had a supper. It means remember the same God that ate with you then is with you now. That's what remembrance means. It does not mean to remember. It means to remember and bring up to the present so that you are facing the same God who was there in the past. Now God is doing a new thing with us, and so we will be the most adaptable people on the face of the earth. Not just our church, but any churches that are moving with God. Now, doesn't that excite you?
Amen.
That was six people. Look, God, you are constituted in such a way that you're conservative. Everybody is conservative. They don't like changes. They don't like to come to church and find elephants in the pews, for example. Now, they like things to be what they expected them to be. Well, I'm going to tell you something. The only thing that you can count on is God. You can't count on me. I'll be dead or gone or somewhere else. You can't count on. You don't know that I'll be here. We Christians always have to say, well, we'll see you tonight, God willing. Because you don't know. You cannot count on anyone or anything. Husband, wife. We had a couple of deaths this week. You can't count on people staying alive. Or you can't count on them not changing. Today they like you, tomorrow they may not. Today you may be popular, tomorrow unpopular. Does that matter to you? If it does, you're going to miss what God's doing. You know, I wouldn't preach this if it weren't the truth. Because it doesn't sell well. You know, now there's other things. Those Arab kids with that, you know, buck and a half deal, that sells well. That booth stuff. And you can sell tradition, you know, well. It's marketable. But the truth is not. Because, you know, God wants all the glory. And you know, we're stubborn by nature. We're so stubborn that we don't like to admit we're stubborn. You know, well, I'm not stubborn. You know, you should see my wife. You know. No, we're all stubborn. We all have sin, and it doesn't change. It doesn't go away. Till the day you die, sin will be ever with you. Hello? As a matter of fact, the more closely you grow in the Lord, the more keenly you will see your sin. The more keenly you'll see it. You won't get better and better. You will look like you're getting worse and worse. Have you found that out? How many have discovered that? That the more you love God with all your heart, the more you see when you don't love Him with all your heart. It just comes into sharper focus. Now, you're not really worse. You're just simply the same. You're not going to change in your old man. Your old man will never get good. You'll never want to worship God. Your old man will never want to worship God. Your old man, your old person, your old self will never be happy. Your old self never, never, never wants to do what God wants. Did you know that? The carnal mind is at enmity with God. The carnal mind, the old mind, is at enmity with God. Now, as long as you're a Christian, you're going to have those old thoughts. Someone says, well, I'm the righteousness of Christ and I don't have a carnal mind. I have the mind of Christ. Well, fine. Do you ever have old thoughts? I don't know how they got there. Well, they got there because you still have a carnal mind. Now, I know it's not from the heart. It's not really you. Nonetheless, it's in you. Nonetheless, you find in yourself a war between your old members and your new members, right? Now, listen to this. God says, after we left the Garden of Eden, He says, there's nothing out there but one thing, wilderness, desert. And it's been man's desire ever since to find a garden, to create a garden. But all of man's gardens always turn up to be pig pens. All of man's gardens turn out to be deserts. Every time man promises you something to save you, to help you, to bless you, to progress, and so on, it's always an illusion. Have you discovered that? When the prodigal son went out and he did his thing, he had party after party after party, you know what he soon discovered? He really wasn't having that much fun. He discovered that the parties of this world always end. You know, if you have any hope in man, or any hope in your own ability, or any hope in anything except Jesus Christ, you will be disillusioned. But you must learn that the hard way. You must learn that by yourself. How many here are good learners? You've learned that the hard way. You're the only ones that'll stick. Because if you believe that you love God, and you don't know that you also have inside of you a great and deep and very real hatred of God at the same time, you are disillusioned. That dialectic, that two-ness will stay with you forever. That's why we need faith. Faith never leaves us in this life. You will never see yourself being a sweet, dear saint. Hello. You are going to be, until the day you leave this earth, a desert dweller. You know? Don't look for a garden. Don't look for the perfect wife. How many here have the perfect wife? It's good. Now, that's faith. It's faith. You're right. But it's by faith. Because it doth not appear. The Bible says that too. It says, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. It couldn't be perfect down here because perfect is yet ahead. You're perfect by God's word, but you don't see it. That's the one thing that's missing in this life is sight. You're going to see a desert. So the amazing thing is that God could create a people in the desert, in the wilderness. Things will never be ideal. They'll never be fixed up. They're always going to be shabby. They're always going to be inconsistent. There's always going to be problems. Yet, Jesus said, I've overcome the world, so be of good cheer. Jesus said, nonetheless, have a good time, have a party. You're going to have enemies, but I'll set a table in the presence of your enemies. Don't worry about the enemies. Don't be afraid. Don't be frightened. Because love promises that you can make it. Now, a lot of people today are drawing doomsday pictures of the economic, political, military world, right? It's one of the things is when you read the papers or look at the TV, you get depressed. Wrong. If you look with the eyes of God, you realize that God said, in the world you have a desert, you have troubles. That's natural. Why do you expect to see something else? What would you expect to see on TV? And the Russians today are loving the, it's not going to happen. I mean, I'm just going to tell you right now, you can pray all day long that you want to for peace in this world. Peace will not come in any permanent way ever, ever, ever. The only peace that will ever come in this world is just enough to bless us. Just enough to keep the church going. Just enough so that you can get the gospel out. That's all the peace there is, and that's all the peace you need. And you'll get that kind of peace. I tell you, I don't care how many conspiracies there are in the world today, they can't harm me one bit. They'll only bless me. Everything's working for me. Everything's working for you. Everything is working for the children of God to be blessed. God said, now listen, this is God's word. Don't you ever be afraid. Somebody says, well, I feel afraid. Yes, because that will always be with you. But you're not afraid because you stand on the word of God. Because God's going to make a way in the desert. And if you have eyes of faith, you'll see the picnic. You'll see the party. You'll see the table. You'll see God. Constantly fresh every day. Not on a weekly basis. Not on a monthly or yearly or biannually basis. But you'll see God every day doing something new and wonderful. You need that. And especially in these end times. I believe the end times are upon us. I believe they're very, very close. Extremely close. But I know what's going to happen. It doesn't matter whether it's tomorrow or 10 years from now or 100 years from now. But you better be ready just in case it comes sooner than you think. Jesus said, be watchful. But anyway, if you know that these two things are going to happen. One, the world is going to get more wicked. The world is going to get darker. Now when I say that, does that mean the world actually gets darker? No. All it means is it appears it's always been dark. Flesh is flesh is flesh. It hasn't changed from the beginning of time. The Bible says, nothing new under the sun. There is nothing new under the sun. If you can show something that's new except what God's doing, then God is a liar. Nothing has changed in the world. From the Garden of Eden to Babel to Armageddon, everything will be the same. The wicked are there. They've always been there. They'll always be there. The poor are there. They'll always be there. They'll always be there. You will not eliminate poverty. You will not eliminate exploitation. You will not eliminate capitalism. The communists are fools. Besides, they're tools of capitalism anyway. But it's just a pretension that there's a more noble way of distributing goods to people. It'll never happen. I'll tell you right now, that's just a trick of capitalism. To just fool people. Keep them out of the market for a while. This world will always be unfair. But in the church, that's another thing, because we live by faith. We can experience heaven right here. God promises to heal our bodies. Did you know you can experience that today? Every day of your life, divine health? God promises to deliver us from sadness. Do you know that God doesn't want one Christian to be sad? You are never to be sad. Did you know that? Rejoice in the Lord as much as you can. Always. Are you rejoicing always? Are you? Are you rejoicing even when you don't rejoice? The Bible says that you are not to be afraid. You know why? Perfect love casts out all fear. My God, who's over everything, looked at the whole darkness of this world from beginning to end and says, I'll make a way. I'll make a way in the wilderness. Now, the way is perfect. But you can't get the next step. It's like this. The way is really crooked. It goes all over the place, you know, wandering in the wilderness. But actually, when you're walking, it is straight. Because all God gives you is the next step. And you go straight to God. But if you were to try to say, I'll just set my course and I'll go straight from here to there, you'd never make it. Because it goes like this and all over. But it's actually straight. Because you go straight to God. And He just shines a light on the next step. You never get two steps at a time. God will never show you a vision that will show you three steps. The only thing you know right now is rejoice. Most of you are postponing. You're thinking, well, if the sermon's real good, I might. You know, look, you've heard the word of God. You don't need to have an impressive sermon or message or anything. You can rejoice right now with all your heart. Amen. What keeps you from doing that? Satan, lying to you. You know, every time you hear a word of God, do it. That quickly. That's something immediate and direct. As soon as you hear a word of God, do it. When God says you can be well, that means right this second. Right this minute, you can have it. You know, but the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and destroy, and take that away and rob us and so on. But God's making the way in the wilderness. Now, here's the thing. The new thing that's going to happen today, just today, is leadership. God is restoring to the church, His whole church, but us in particular, New Testament leadership. That is a leadership that's based on the Bible. It has not happened in church history for 2,000 years. Now, there may be a few isolated instances, I know there are, where what we are doing is being done in other places. But basically, it's not been done for 2,000 years. Since the early church, the churches of Jesus Christ have not had leadership that has been according to the pattern of God. Therefore, since they're not according to the pattern of God, they cannot fulfill the purposes of God. They cannot have the power of God. Now, you must build everything on God's pattern. Then you'll get God's power. And we believe that God, supernaturally, just because of what we do today, will then favor us with His presence. How many believe that? Well, whether you do or not, you're going to see it. Because our God is that kind of God. And, you know, you don't have to have a nice feeling of worship. Just your obedience is pleasing to God. It's your faith that counts with God. You know, you might be saying right now, I wish I could sort of be in with them. You don't have to be in with us. Just stand there and be rebellious. Or sit there. It's wonderful to be rebellious. Hello. If that's who you are, be what you are, because God will meet you where you are. And you know what? When you see God do what He said He'll do, you'll change. You'll be amazed, as it says in the Bible. You know what? God did just what those silly people said He'd do. That's right. Amen. I tell you, I'm just warning you ahead of time. We've given you lots of warning, but God's going to do it. He's going to bless. He can't help it because we've met His conditions. And therefore, you're going to end up lovers. How many want to be lovers? Well, you'll end up lovers. You're going to end up joyful, party. Most of your faces are, you know, you're just not used to parties too much. You thought they were bad. But we're going to get you used to them, to dancing and singing in the Lord. Because most of us have been taught God doesn't like parties. God likes people that work in the fields. You know? Get out there and work early morning, late at night, you know? Get up at 5 in the morning, worship for 6 hours, then at 6 o'clock, get up and, you know, feed the kids, and then at 6:10, have 17 hours of Bible study, and then at 6:15, have a whole day of fasting, and then at 7 o'clock, you know, most of us have a very poor image of God. You know what God wants to do? Blessings. Just pour out blessings. He's made a way in the wilderness. He said, this world, I've made a way. It's something good. Don't be afraid. I'm forming a people for myself. A people that can follow me. You'll be able to follow Him because God's paid for it. God's already done it. God's just preaching to you until you believe. Until you believe. Until you believe. God's going to do great and mighty things. The leadership of this church is forming a covering or a covenant over us that will allow God to do some other things. Three things that leaders do. They feed, they lead, and they disciple. They feed with the Word of God. They lead people in worship unto the living God. And they disciple the new believers until they're matured so that two fruits can happen. One, power. Healings, deliverance, overthrowing the enemy, miracles, signs, wonders. Power. Supernatural power. I tell you, we have seen signs of His power already. But you have seen nothing like the kind of power we are about to see. It will be supernatural because we've met the conditions. You're thinking in your mind, well, why will it be any different Thursday than it was Wednesday? But it will be, just believe me. As the leaders begin to feed and lead and disciple, then you will see these two fruits happening. Tremendous supernatural power over which you have no control. It will just happen. The only control is you met the condition. And the lost will be saved in incredible numbers. We're going to see revival in this city on an incredible scale. And this city is going to become a model for the nation. And this nation is going to become a light to the world. Now, I'm not talking about the nation itself or the city itself. I'm talking about the church. The church is a church that has no walls, no security, no safety, but the certainty of the Lord God and His Word. That's all. The only thing you know is the Lord God loves you and you have His Word. That's all. That's certain. Everything else is uncertain. This building is uncertain. Anything you cling to is uncertain. I'm uncertain. Everything is uncertain. But one thing is certain. God's love and God's staying with you to the end. He's going to finish this thing all the way. And His Word, which leads you step by step and in which the Spirit works and brings forth everything that God said. We're going to be a people that go all the way. How many believe that? I mean, all the way. What does that mean? I don't know. Nobody knows. But all the way means all the way. Whatever it means, it means everything that God has said we can do. You can't say we can't do it because the Bible says you can do it. In Christ Jesus, I can do all things. And that also applies to the church. We as a church have no limits. We don't need walls. We don't need borders. I'm going to tell you something funny. A country like Russia has borders and high walls. But you know that doesn't give her any protection. She's completely vulnerable. A country like Israel has no borders. She's having difficulty figuring out what her borders are and no walls. Yet she's safe. Borders and walls won't help. We are a people without security in this world. Yet our security is in God. It's the only thing that's secure. And you'll make it. That's why God said, fear not. Don't be afraid of anything, anything, anything. The darkness will not scare you. Because I am with you. And I will bless you. I'll not only be with you and you'll be kind of quivering and, whoa, where's God? You're going to know. You're going to know Him. Your lovers are going to see Him. You're going to go from glory to glory to glory to glory. And the enemy's the one that's going to be afraid. The darkness is going to be afraid. It's not Christians who are afraid of the darkness. It's darkness who's afraid of the Christians. Do you believe that? You better get excited because God's going to do it. Again, these are not words. This is not theology, even though it is. God Himself has spoke this to me. God Himself is going to do it. God is a real God, and what we're doing is real. We're not being religious. We're not being even theological in a kind of silly sense. This God's real, and He's exciting. You have no idea what God's going to do, even if you've had visions. I tell you, it's bigger than any vision you can imagine. It's so great, it's so biblical, and it's so real that the world's going to be blown away in a very short time. In a very short time. So, we're going to close now. I just want you to know we're going all the way. We're going to go back to the Bible, back to the patterns in the Bible. And with those patterns, we're going to fulfill the purposes of God. And with the purposes of God, following the patterns of God, there's going to be tremendous power breaking out. And God will get all the glory. God's going to get glory over Pharaoh. God's going to get glory for Himself. This world has yet to see a people that God has formed for Himself, set aside wholly for His purposes. They're about to see it. Amen. That, you know, that I always feel when I look into your faces like you think, well, that's really, you know, that's real inspirational and so on. Look, it doesn't matter to me whether you believe it or not. God will wipe you out and give me a whole new crew. God's going to have a people that are going to believe. And they're going to get excited. And I'll tell you, the biggest word of all is going to be passion. These people that we have today are not radical. They're not passionate enough because they're not lovers. We want lovers who have been to the bottom, know there's nothing in the world, and know that everything's in God. That's passion. Most people are hanging one foot in here and one foot in there, a little bit in God and a little bit in the world. You can't make it that way. A double-minded man's unstable in all his ways. God is purifying a people. He's going to have a pure people that love Him. Our worship is going to be out of this world. That's what worship should be. And the leadership now is going to begin to feed us in a way that, you know, David said that we haven't had power. We've had power up till now. And God isn't going to just start power. But in a way, he's right. Because power without leadership, that is, without order, without God's perfect pattern, is always chaos. Power, you know, most people don't want to go to charismatic churches today because they're so disruptive. They're flaky. They're full of all kinds of weird people. Nothing like what we've got, you know. But power without God's presence and without the order of God, without the pattern of God, is destructive. It doesn't last. It peters out and it does much harm. But once you have the leadership, the covering, the authority of God, the presence of God, through a God-anointed, God-appointed leadership, then you will see that power can come. On the day of Pentecost, what came first? The leadership or the power? The leadership. The leadership was the first item of business, not power. Leadership was picked out of 10 days of prayer and fasting. Leadership was picked by Jesus. Leadership was picked from heaven. Once that leadership was completed, got its right foundation, then there was no end to what God could do. Preaching went forth with power. The anointing of the Holy Spirit came on those people. The lost were saved. The saved were no longer lost. You know, they began to be revived and built up and excited. And I tell you, when you read the book of Acts, you get excited. Because, you know, they go ahead and then the enemy, you know, wipes them out. And then they, you know, don't know what to do. And they turn to God. And then they go ahead and the enemy wipes them out. And they go ahead and the... It's just one continual battle after another. Isn't that exciting? That's to make a way in the wilderness. You say, I don't want that. What I want is to go ahead and go ahead and go ahead and go ahead and never have an enemy. You'll never establish the kingdom of God unless we go through the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of God will not be established unless we overthrow at the same time the kingdom of darkness. Let's take on the world. Not kiddingly, you've got to overthrow this world. You can't leave Madeline Murray out there. Let's save her. Don't you just love her? There's an independent snot. You know. See, but look at, she at least has the guts to say, I don't believe that. That's all right. She's seen a lot of problems in the church and she's right. But what she needs and what she's never seen is the real power of the real God. And God can take a Saul and turn him into a Paul. He can take a Madeline and turn her into, you know, a sweet saint. We can take this world. Those that are witches, those that are Hindus and Buddhists and, you know, haters of God and humanists and so on, we can take them all. Do you believe that? Amen. Well, let's start. We'll start with the poor. We'll start with those that are least likely. That's the way God always does it. And you'll see God will take the whole world. Let's start with the little ones. Let's start with the little ones because they're ready. They're the broken. Don't start with Madeline. Just pray for her. She's a mess right now, see? But just start with those that are already broken and ready and ripe. Don't work with the stuff that's tough. Work with the stuff that's ripe. And God will begin to expand your barns. As the ministry of the word goes forth, then the disciples are increased. Our biggest problem is going to be, in a few months, how to contain all the people. It's going to be our biggest problem. What to do with all the money? We won't know what to do with abundance. This is easy today. It's so easy to make decisions because you're desperate. You know, and when a nickel comes in, you know what to do with it. And when someone comes in, you need an usher or something. You know, it's so easy to put people to work. But I tell you, the biggest problem is going to have a leadership that knows how to hear God and pray so that we put everything in order, so that everything is correctly done. You don't make children have to take care of children. We need elders. We need women in this church who are mature to raise the younger women. We don't want people that just look religious. They must really have the power of the gospel. And so God is raising up and has been raising up true men, true women, true boys, true girls to carry out the gospel work. But you're going to have a leadership to do that. It'll run away from you. It'll be so easily captured by Satan or dissipate into anarchy. But with a true leadership who are hearing from God, you will be amazed. It's exciting. I can't explain it. But Jesus wasted all that time on just a handful of men. He could have been a university professor. You know, he could have been the head of Exxon. Jesus could have amounted to something. You know, what did he do? He did nothing. In a few years, he was dead. What a failure. But he wasted his life on a handful of people. He poured his life into them. And you know what? Those people have turned the world upside down. They're still around. And I tell you what, we're the dregs, the leftovers. But God is going to do another new thing. He's going to revive that thing, that broken down, whorish bride, and make her pure again. We're going to be, can a whore become pure? Absolutely. Absolutely. I tell you, that's the only kind God will use. If you're a nice person, you're going to have difficulty. But if you're a rotten, desolate, hopeless, desert-like sinner, then praise God. Hello? Hello? You don't like that? That doesn't sound right? God only makes a way in the desert. He will only use desert dwellers. If your life is a shambles, you're in good shape. If you've been a mess, that's just the kind of material we're looking for. If you are rebellious and difficult to get along with, it's wonderful. Do you understand? Then God gets all the glory. Anybody can use you when you're so pliable and say, oh yes, Father, I'll do anything you say. You know, we're all those kind of people. They fill our churches today, and they're liars. And they don't know it. They've been told by the pastors and the church leaders that's what religion's all about. But they're deceived. Because God only uses leftovers. God only uses crumbs. God only uses that which is not. God is going to, by His word, call into being that which is not. A people that's no people, He's going to make a people. And He'll get all the glory that way. If he could love me, I'm one of the most unlovable persons in the whole world. A lot of you do love me. That's only because you don't know me. But if you really knew me, you would hate me. And that's fine. You know, I think it's funny of God to use a person like me. You probably think He should use you. I think that's funny too. But we have just such a funny God who puts together an unusual batch of people from all kinds of backgrounds and whatnot, roughed up, shaped up, not right, and God knows how to do it. I believe He knows exactly what He's doing. Do you? I hope you're excited, because God's going to get all the glory in Jesus' holy name. Oh, Father God, we thank You for this precious day and this life-giving word. We thank You that the Holy Spirit is here to minister us life and joy and peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You that with Your presence there is not only fullness of joy, but there's healing. There is life. There is fullness. Everything that we need comes with You. Oh, Lord God, we love You and praise You. And we thank You that this moment that we are now entering upon, that we will tear down all of our booths, leave the past, forgetting those things that lie behind, and press on to the high mark of the high calling of Jesus Christ. Oh, that we might rise up now to the full stature. It is our prayer, Lord God. Regard not our words, but our prayer. Regard our hearts as we cry out to You. Lord, we long for, and we know we're not alone. We're just expressing the prayers of thousands and millions and even billions of people that have desired to see the day of the Lord, that have desired to see the day of the Lord's coming, that have desired to see the Lord Jesus return in glory. We know that before that comes, the bride must make herself ready. And we pray that today we take another step after a couple of years, and we just know that we're in concert with many other saints throughout the world who years ago have seen this and have entered into it, and now we're coming into it, and there are others that are coming into it. And we just rejoice that we're part of the move of God. We're part of the present working, the present truth of the Lord God. Oh God, we thank You today that You have done this thing. We know we're not fully comprehending everything, and yet we look on with wonder, and we look on with praise, knowing that You are the greatest, the best, the most wonderful God that anyone could have. And we give You all the praise. In Jesus' holy name, amen and amen.